Welcome to the Philippe Matthews Show at thepmshow.tv. Named the Oprah of the Internet by Mark Victor Hansen, Philippe Matthews doesn't ask questions that are different. He simply asks questions that make a difference. The Philippe Matthews Show features entertainers, bestsellers, authors, thought leaders, change agents, and world-class experts in the field of personal, spiritual, and professional development. An internet marketing entrepreneur, Philippe is the creator of the How Movement, dedicated to teaching people how to move from the mindset of hope to the process of how. If you are ready to take your life to the next level, move from the mindset of why to the mindset of why not. Tune in right now to this latest edition of the Philippe Matthews Show and watch your life grow.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, and I have a phenomenal friend and guest back with us on the Philippe Matthews Show. Her name is Kathy Heatsley. She is a partner in Heatsley and Partners, and she is the branding genius, branding and marketing genius that is responsible for many of the brands that you well know, one of which or two of which we know is the, what is that, Massage Envy, I believe, is one of your clients, as well as Robert Kiyosaki.
Yes, that's right.
How are you, my dear?
I'm fine. I'm great. How about you? It's great
I'm
to be
excellent.
Back on your show.
It's an honor to have you back on the show, and I'm totally excited to have you back because you have an incredible event coming up. And with some brilliant minds, you of which being one of them, and I want to talk about this workshop that you have called Real Business, Real Purpose, and Real Profit. Talk to me about that.
Well, we've put this workshop together. It's taking place on May 17th in Scottsdale, Arizona. And one of the reasons we put it together, myself plus a few other amazing people, as you mentioned, is because so often workshops, you know, you go to them and it's maybe a sales workshop. And you go back and you're all excited and you get back to your office and it's kind of like, okay, but it has to play in a bigger environment. And what we wanted to do was we wanted to bring together the best disciplines, the most important disciplines to take your business, you know, to the next level in 2012 and beyond. Mm-hmm. So we united sales, branding, marketing, and learning, which are like the four key areas in a business that if you can master those things, I mean, you can go to the moon back, to Mars and back, you know, to the ends of the earth.
Well, let's talk about each one of those specifically and talk about each presenter.
Okay.
And then talk about how that translates to the end user, because one of the things that I like about your work is that the moment someone receives training from you, they're able to activate that training immediately in their business and in their life. And that, I think, is what separates the big girls from the mice. So talk to me about what each presenter is presenting and bringing to the table of this audience.
Okay, well, great. I'd love to. Well, first of all, you know, our belief is that everything starts with a brand, and when you have a great brand, it makes everything else easier. And what I mean by everything else, let's start with sales. So we have revenue strategist and creator of the Revenue Game, Rick McPartland, who is going to be part of our workshop. And what he talks about is basically the sales pathway and how all along the way, if you do the job right, how, you know, you'll just grow sales throughout your company. Now, mm-hmm. one of the coolest things that he really stresses is the cost of chaos and how much it's costing your company to operate, as he says, in chaos. And chaos, in his mind, is things like, for example, when you have a sales force and they're not 100% sure what to say about your company, about your product, they're spending their time generating leads instead of having leads come their way. You know, all these different things that makes your sales force do things other than actually sell. And he and he quantifies this, and he, you know, basically tells you that this is your most expensive employee, and you're having them do the work of marketing. And
wow.
You know, when you like listen to him and you put it all together, you're like thinking, oh my goodness, what am I doing? So that then leads us to, you know, the whole branding thing and the marketing side of things. And you know, when you do your branding work right, and you really take the time and put the effort into doing that, well, guess what? Everybody understands what you're about. You know, I'm talking about employees. Your
mm-hmm.
your teams understand what you're about. They understand how to talk about your brand. They understand how the products fit in. You know, they understand all this. They become exponentially more effective.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, your marketing team obviously is exponentially more effective, meaning between the marketing team, your sales force, and then, you know, if you remember maybe from our last time that I was on, that a brand is the promise and the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're delivering great experiences that are on brand, your operations people, you know, all the way through the product or service cycle, are delivering great experiences, which create buzz, which, you know, creates that wonderful cycle of word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, you have an engine for lead generation that will really, really power your sales force. And so, you know, solid branding and then the implementation of it can really make your whole sales cycle and your whole sales engine more efficient.
Now, you bring up something interesting. Now, not to interrupt you, and I want you to finish talking about the other two talents that you have on the program, but I wanted to make this point. You were talking earlier about the first presenter sales, you know, the chaos. What is really interesting is that most businesses think data mining is just an essential part of their business.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going out and finding customers. And what you guys are doing is actually setting up systems where the customers come to you, so that the key key person on your team is able to just do what they do best, and that is close the deal.
Exactly. Exactly. He defines.
And I think that's important for people to realize and hear. So talk to me a little bit about that, and then we can move on to the other speakers.
Yeah, I mean, what Rick has, what he realized and what he talks about is the fact that, you know, your sales force is best used, actually, as he calls, moving the deal forward. Because that's what they really are supposed to do. And it's incredible. He has statistics that demonstrate that in many companies, sales teams spend, it's scary how few hours. In some cases, it's 2 hours a week selling. And he defines selling as moving the deal forward when no one else can do it. And, you know, that's just not acceptable. And
yeah,
so what
yeah.
are those salespeople doing? Well, they're, you know, maybe looking for some new prospects. They might be making a few phone calls. You know, I mean, they're doing the work of what we consider selling, but
mm-hmm.
really it's the work that, frankly, marketing should be doing to get the phone ringing. And it doesn't matter what kind of business you're in.
Yeah, I think most people really, and most businesses really don't get that.
No.
That is a piece that is truly missing.
It really is. And a lot of times, you know, the fundamental part of it that is really missing is the branding perspective. You know,
absolutely.
And it's just incredible that it's tolerated, in business, and it's incredible that it's almost just expected now that's how, you know, a sales force is supposed to operate.
Well, you know, when I look at you and what you have contributed to the world of branding and to your clients, you know, there's an old motivational quote that a lot of the old-time speakers use on stage about, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But what you want to try to do is create a thirst to make that horse want to drink. And I think that's what you bring to the table with what you do in terms of branding, is that you create a thirst where there's an intrigue. Now, I knew nothing about Massage Envy. Of course, my sweetheart does. She's a member. And what's fascinating is that she became a member long before I knew that you, that was your client. And so at that point, I walked in and I looked at everything that they were doing and how they did it. I said, wow, this is very, very elegant, very nicely done. But they have, you know, a system that obviously they followed from you that makes you want to go in and investigate. And they didn't have to chase me down the street or chase my girl down the street. They, you know, they didn't have to do any hard, cold calling. It was very inviting. You say, what is this Massage Envy about? And that is, I think, what is key for people to listen to. And when you go to this workshop, Real Business, Real Purpose, and Real Profit, is to learn how to have people or your clients or customers or prospects come to you where you're not chasing, as well as, and as a result, you become more effective because now you can do other things. You become more proficient at closing as opposed to trying to go out and fetch the stick.
You're right. And, you know, so much of the success of companies like Massage Envy, of, you know, clients that we've worked with in the past for many years, like Cold Stone Creamery, and even clients
Oh, another one of my favorites.
Yeah, another, I know. They're so good.
They're so bad favorite. You're too damn good at what you're doing with Cold Stone. Just let me tell you that right now. I can't stay out of that store.
it's pretty tempting, I know.
Oh, good stuff.
But so much of what the engine really is for brands like that, and it wasn't always that way. It becomes that way when you develop a great brand, a brand that has heart, like we always talk about, a brand that elevates people to a higher purpose. What happens is that you have people on the street, you know, customers that talk to other people, and they say, oh my gosh, you have to try this, or you have to work with so-and-so. And so then what happens is your sales team isn't calling up, and I always call it the alphabet soup. I used to be in sales, so I know. I learned how to spell my name 500 times a day, you know. And, you know, you call up and you're, hi, I'm Kathy. Yes, Kathy, right, with a K. Yeah, with a Y. You know, I mean, you had to go through all that. And it's so much nicer when you develop a brand, you get people talking, you create that buzz because it's meaningful to who they are. They tell other people, and the other people, you know, actually contact you and say, okay, a friend of mine told me I absolutely have to work with you, or, you know, I got to try this ice cream, or I have to, you know, work with so-and-so, the massage therapist at this Massage Envy location. You know, what's the close on that? The close on that is, okay. You know, isn't that a easier way to do business than
absolutely
the alphabet soup and, you know, spelling your name 500 times a day and begging for an appointment? And
absolutely.
But branding can do that. You know, that's what branding really does. And, you know, the companies that miss that, oh, my God, they work so darn hard. I feel sorry for them.
Absolutely. So now another component that is on your panel is Lon Safko.
That's right. Lon Safko is the author of the Social Media Bible. He's our director of social media here at Heasley & Partners. And we love Lon because he's so not only just brilliant about social media and the role that it plays today in marketing and getting your brand out there. You know, social media is media first. And what we always say is, you know, you got to have a great brand to put out on that media. So, you know, that the brand really comes back and says, here's what you need to say. Here's how you need to sound. Here's how you need to look, all of those different things. But Lon is so brilliant at, well, he wrote the book on social media, right? He wrote the social media Bible.
You can't get any higher than that when you write a book with the word Bible in it. That's the unequivocal book of that genre.
I know. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? And he's, you know, such a dynamic, wonderful, wonderful guy and just so brilliant. And so we're excited to have him be a part of it because social media is so much a part of what marketing is today and PR, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a perfect fit between the two of you because he also talks about Fuse Marketing. I had a great conversation with him. And I just absolutely think this guy is one of the most brilliant minds in the game of social media and marketing. And what a powerhouse to be able to team up with you. You guys are basically an unstoppable force. But I think, you know, clients, or should I say businesses, and business owners, I don't think they know how to make the connection between social media marketing and their brand marketing. Can you speak a bit about that, and then we'll move on also and bring on the other speaker and what she brings to the table as well. But talk to me about that, those two, because I see that as a gap between many small business owners and even big business, actually, is that they just don't know this whole social media thing and how to integrate with their brand. It's very difficult.
Well, yeah, I see this a lot, too. People that, how can I put this? I guess I should start off by saying for several years I was a media buyer when I first started my career. And so I really, really learned to understand media. And, of course, in those days it was television and radio and newspapers and billboards and all of those types of traditional media. But in so working in that area, I really, really understand the fact that social media is media too. And it just happens to be media that, you know, you don't have to actually pay a spot cost for, you know, a cost for a commercial or a cost for an ad placement or whatever. But nonetheless, it's real estate. It is information that is being put out there. And what many people don't realize is, you know, why would you put gibberish out there or information that is meaningless or information that necessarily isn't on brand or messages in general that don't meet your brand goals? Why would you put that out there on this medium? You wouldn't do that on radio.
No.
You wouldn't do that on television.
You wouldn't talk about how your dog had a unique poop or something like that on a radio program?
Right. I mean,
oh my gosh, I've got to take that down.
But
you're right. It's absolutely amazing what some seasoned business owners will put up on their Facebook or what they will tweet, not realizing that is their brand and image in real time in
social
media.
That's right. And it's, you know, and the hard part is that, you know, in some people's minds, you know, they have to use the shock value to break through the clutter and all that. But there are ways to, you know, be noticed within your own brand. The problem is, you know, people don't necessarily know where their brand rests, like what it is. And so they're inadvertently creating a brand using social media, probably in a way that if they really kind of look back on it, they're probably not going to be real happy with it. It's the equivalent of putting, you know, a really, really tacky commercial on television. The difference is that with television where, you know, people might be sitting in their living rooms and going, oh, this commercial is terrible. How can they do this? You're getting those responses in real time posted as comments and thumbs down.
right.
You know,
and those kind of that kind of bad publicity has a tendency to go viral. So you would probably have been better off putting that on television than you would have been on social media.
That's right, because it's also there and gone.
Yes, exactly. You can always pull that commercial. It only runs for 30 seconds. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? When it's on Facebook, when it's on Twitter, or whatever social space you're in, it's there forever.
That's right. You can keep loading those, you know, load more posts, and you can, you know, you get to, it's always there. And so what we always stress with our clients is, okay, yeah, we need to help you understand the tools and the protocols within those tools, but let's focus on the message. You know, let's focus on making sure that your message on those various social media properties and social media sites is everything it should be, mm-hmm. so that you're actually building your reputation and not harming it.
So the last speaker is, she brings to the table.
Yeah, the last speaker is Michelle Sterling. She's a corporate trainer, educator, and creator of what she calls workforce power. And mm-hmm. it's just that. I mean, she is a strong, strong believer, and I agree with her, that, you know, your workforce is your power. And either you, you know, utilize that power and make them become powerful, or, you know, you miss out. And so all these things that we're talking about, from, you know, developing your brand to, you know, this different sales strategies and revenue strategies to, mm-hmm. you know, social media to marketing to all these different things, you know, just the brand alone must be trained throughout your organization. And so many people miss that. They, you know, spend the time, spend the money on all these different types of programs, and then, you know, one way or another, either forget or don't take the time to truly educate and train their teams.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore all of that wonderful benefit just sort of gets lost, or, you know, mired in maybe, say, one department or maybe two. So Michelle kind of brings it all together.
That's excellent. You bring up a good point again. And it kind of goes back to your original, when we first started the conversation, and that is, you know, your sales force, your team. How important is it to, you know, there's your job description when you put the ad out and you're looking for people. There's what's called your job description. But do you think the job description is enough? I believe that you have to, as a business owner, especially a small business owner, to be able to convey the vision of your company to your team, and not just allow the job description to dictate how it's going to be. What is your thought on that?
Well, yes. I mean, a job description is important, but you have to obviously have a larger purpose. You know, we always work with clients. We've worked with Massage Envy to help them develop, for example, their vision, mission, values as the company has grown and developed. And, you know, really, really igniting the people there to live that vision, to live that higher purpose. And we just finished their big annual franchisee meeting, which is a wonderful, wonderful, and inspiring event. And, you know, it was really built around that higher purpose of bettering people's lives, mm-hmm. which is really what they do. Now, again, Heart-Mind Branding, in our world, we believe that, and this is how we work with clients, Massage Envy, Cold Stone among them, we take those, what I call those mundane business type of activities, like a job description, for example, and what we do is we envelop them in the heart. So that's how you bring heart into your company and into mm-hmm. your brand, is you take these mind-based activities that we all have to do. We all have to do job descriptions. It makes life easier. It makes employees understand their roles. But why make them so mundane and when we can infuse them with the higher purpose?
Mm-hmm.
You know, even the simplest tasks at a company like Massage Envy, for example, all plays back to that bigger purpose of bettering the lives of people. And one of the things that we talk about in you know, some of their purpose statements is bettering the lives of people through their hands. And of course, that's massage, absolutely. That's the, you know, the touch and the work mm-hmm. that's done through massage. But it's also through, you know, the person who sits at a computer and works at a keyboard through their hands. You know, it's quite a spiritual thing in a way when you think about it. That no matter what we're doing in our job descriptions, for example, we are bettering people's lives as a person who works for Massage Envy. So enveloping.
I can see where that heart, now I see where you connect that heart and mind together. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
Right, and we do that in every aspect of the company, So, you know, thinking even of, you know, your invoicing that you might do, you know, why not put a heart-based element within that invoice?
Mm-hmm.
There's lots
mm-hmm.
of ways you can do that. You know, so...
So let's do this. Where what is the date of the workshop?
The date is May 17th, and it's from eight in the morning until 4 in the afternoon, with, you know, lunch and so forth.
And where is it?
It's in Scottsdale, Arizona, at SkySong, which is ASU's Scottsdale Innovation Center. And it's just this wonderful, wonderful location. It's a hotbed of entrepreneurship. It's a wonderful environment. We're thrilled to be able to hold it here.
Where can people, is there a web address where people can go, or a phone number where people can go and register?
Well, they can go to, we have an Eventbrite site set up, and
mm-hmm.
it's just realbusinesspurposeprofit.eventbrite.com. Or if they want to click directly to it, they can come to the Heasley and Partners website, and they'll see a link on our homepage to the Real Business, Real Purpose, Real Profit event page.
Fantastic. So let's dig in a little deeper with the understanding and concept of heart and mind mm-hmm. branding. We talked about it, about, you know, Cold Stone, we talked about it, Massage Envy. Let's use a business model that a little bit harsher. Let's say car dealership.
Right? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, or an auto mechanic, or a plumber, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, some hard businesses that's not really fluffy, you know.
Uh-huh.
How would that kind of business owner incorporate heart and mind branding into their business?
Well, it's funny, you know, because those are businesses, those are industries that are just ripe for reinvention. I love industries like that. And, you know, massage was that way. Before Massage Envy came on the radar, pretty much if you wanted a massage, you had to go to a high-end spa.
Mm-hmm.
Pay a lot of money,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, and it was really for the elite. And so they changed things. They changed the world. They changed things up. Cold Stone the same way. A sleepy little, you know, ice cream industry hadn't changed in a zillion years. They changed it up. You know, coffee,
mm-hmm.
Starbucks did it with coffee. So really, you know, what it's going to take is the ambitious, the visionary company in those kinds of industries, whether it be a plumbing company, a car dealership, to really, really transform the industry. And, of course, it's not easy work, but it's easy to envision because
well,
those industries
because
are so typical.
What you're talking about is even more than branding. You're actually talking about innovation.
Oh yes, it branding, especially in Me Too kind of industries like the ones you described,
mm-hmm.
Requires just kind of completely rethinking how a business can operate and how a business can actually be. And the funny thing is, when you really get inspired to that, and you say, you know what, we're going to do things completely differently. Whatever the other guys are doing, we're almost going to be doing the opposite. When you start to do that, you start to see all these amazing opportunities and all these amazing ways that you can become more genuine to who you are, more meaningful to the people you serve. Because let's face it, you know, we all could find these industries a lot more meaningful to our world today. They're sort of, you know, working in a framework of, gosh, I don't know, 1967 maybe. you know, and certainly by doing that, you become massively different. Mm-hmm. And of course, there'll be lots of people going, "Oh, they're crazy! They're crazy! They're not going to make any money doing that." And then, lo and behold, because you're being so different, and because you're really changing things up, people start talking about it, and people start saying, "Well, I actually had a really good experience there." And that's that engine, that breakthrough brand engine that I always talk about. You know, the heart and the mind connection, bringing it together, bringing it to life in the brand, gets people excited, gets people talking. They want to come on board.
I also like the fact that you know, you teach your clients the entire follow through system. So it's not just your logo, it's not just your website, it's not just when someone calls, but it's all in the nooks and crannies of the business. I mean, from the invoices to the envelopes to the mouse pad. I mean, you just incorporate that you create the culture where the culture is flush throughout the business. That's what I really enjoy about the work that you do, and I see that at Massage Envy. I see that at Coldstone. I see that with Rich Dad, and I think that's just fascinating. I don't know how you do it, but you do it.
Well, you're right. I love how you put that. Getting it into all the nooks and crannies, because it really is about, you know, culture and brand are so interconnected. To think that one can exist without the other is just really not realistic, because one kind of is the other. And you know, we're doing this reinvention with, believe it or not, a criminal defense attorney. And, you know, talk about a very kind of mundane, typical sort of, you know, industry. You know, there's not much that you can really say about it other than, you know, it's a law firms or whatever, or independent lawyer. Mm-hmm. And with this one particular attorney, his name's Guy Brown. He's an attorney in Phoenix. And with this one particular attorney who, again, his genuineness is all about transforming lives. Mm-hmm. He works with people who, you know, have gotten in trouble. Whatever has been going on in their life, as he says, hasn't been working. And if you are serious about transforming your life, he, and these are his words, "I'll go to hell and back for you."
Mm.
You know,
wow.
to help you change your life.
Wow.
And that's his way of practicing law, and he means it. He really means it. He has, you know, pulled off what many might consider miracles in terms of transforming people's lives. And the way he puts it, he only gives people one shot. If he, you know, gets them a better sentence, or gets them, you know, off for a crime or an offense that they may have committed, you know, don't expect to come back and have the same sort of thing in a year. You know, this is your golden ticket, because it is about transforming lives. And you know, people, he, and the interesting part is, not only does he attract a lot of obviously clients, because they are looking to figure out a way out of their situation and do want to change. They just don't know how to change.
Sure.
But he also is attracting a lot of other attorneys who want to work with him because of his higher purpose. And that comes back to what we're talking about. You know,
well, you know, that's again, you bring up a phenomenal point. I think in those kinds of industries, most, especially in law, you go into the law because you want to do the most amount of good and the least amount of harm. And then you pass the bar, you come out, now you have to get, you throw yourself into the world of your industry, and you kind of get tossed and shuffled around, and you're looking at what everybody is doing, and you start to just go into survival mode versus individuation and branding mode. And I think what you're doing with this attorney is, and in that particular genre, is incredible, because, you know, I think most attorneys want to do the most amount of good. They want to differentiate, but once they get out of there, once they pass the bar and get out and launch their own business, oh my gosh, they just get lost in the river, in the current.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot do. Just like we can all get kind of, we all kind of get sucked into the to the day to day and the business and so forth, and it can really detract us or take us away from our real driving purpose that maybe we left law school with, or maybe we left college with, and got into the workforce. You know, it's that disenchantment sometimes that creeps in because of business as usual. And that's where, you know, even with this workshop that we're putting together, but with work in general, what we really work to do is not only help companies build an amazing brand, but show them how, with their daily activities, you know, what we might call the grind of the work, how it doesn't have to be a grind. It can be a very purpose-driven, mission-based life's work instead of work.
And, so who is your ideal audience member for this workshop, for this event?
Well, actually, you know, if you're a business owner, if you're a CEO, a COO, you know, VPs of marketing, sales, operations, you know, entrepreneurs, small business owners, really it's that level of person who we want to not only enlighten to this whole philosophy, but also, you know, help them, again, walk away with lots of stuff that they can act upon in the four key areas of any business, which is sales, branding, marketing, learning.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
One last thing I want to talk about that you touched on earlier. There seems to be, even with social media came along to kind of supposedly humanize, in terms of business, humanize a company. And it seems that in some cases, in many cases, it's created more of a separation than bringing people into the fold. There still is this big, huge corporation. Then there's this social media, which is trying to convince you to do something, which is doing more selling than making people feel welcome. What is your take on that? How you know what I'm talking about?
I do. I have kind of a new take on that that has formulated in me over the course of probably the last month. And month or two, and I'm preparing to do some writing on it, actually, so I'll give you a little preview of it. But and you know, a lot of the stuff that I write about, I wish I could say that, oh, you know, we ran across these companies and they made all these mistakes, and so I'm writing about them. I wish I could say it was them, but in reality, I write about a lot of my own mistakes. Because I can really feel them. And when you can write with feeling, it's a lot better than when you just are writing observationally. So, but it means I have to put my own shortcomings out there on the for the world to see, which I guess is fine. I don't mind. But I have discovered, and we are in the process of actually making this switch, that I think one of the biggest mistakes that a company can do, and I say this from experience, is have your least seasoned, your least experienced, your newest team members, you know, whether they be interns or entry-level positions, be in charge of your social media posts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the reason that I say this is because social media is not about just posting. It's about relating. And, you know, while our social media right now is mostly about just putting out there our tidbits and our, you know, words of wisdom and so forth, the real strength of social media, and this is the migration that we are making as a company, is in relating to other people, right? That's what it's really supposed to be about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not relating with a zillion people, because if I want to do that, I should buy a TV ad or I should buy a radio spot, right? It's more efficient, and I'm still going to reach a large audience. Might not be as large as it was 10 years ago, but I'm still going to reach a large audience. Too many people are using social media as broadcasting, and I'm raising my hand as being, as you know, our company being guilty of it as well, purely because of workload, of time, of all those same things that so many companies experience. It's another thing that companies have to do, and so as a result, we're you know, the fifth stage of Heart Mind Branding is systems, and we're working through some systems within our own company so that every single senior level person will be, you know, able to relate to people that they should be relating to, not just blurting information out there about how great we are or what we do or how we do it or words of wisdom. I mean, some of that is important and it's good to do, but it must be balanced with the actual relating to people and sharing and giving. And that's, I think, a big part of what a lot of people miss in social media.
I think that's huge, and I think you're absolutely on point with that. Even though I'm in broadcast, that's something that I do recognize, and that it's not about broadcasting; it's about engagement.
That's right. That's right. And to expect an entry level person to be able to engage with, you know, a CEO of a company,
they can't. They can't speak the language. They haven't had enough tenure.
That's right. That's exactly right. So, you know, it's in every case, we're setting ourselves up for failure when we do that. We're setting the employee up for failure, and we're setting our company up for failure as well. And so, you know, it's something that I've been aware of, but it's been formulated now so much more clearly in my mind. And I also see the pathway to get out of that trap that so many companies, including ours, you know, has been in. And it's exciting. And when we start to talk in those terms of true engagement with social media versus, you know, broadcasting, the people in the company get excited about it. And I'm talking about the higher level people who have something to say. And they have a voice, and they're looking for a venue, for an opportunity, a place to share that voice. And so it's very exciting. I know that our company is feeling that very, very clearly. And so it's something that I want to be able to share with, you know, a lot of other companies.
Well, Go ahead, Pam.
Well, I was just going to say, but here again, the only way you can really make sure that functions properly is if you have a solid brand and a solid brand message. And your people feel that brand, because then they can talk about it and engage, you know, from that perspective. So...
I just think that, you know, you are one of the most brilliant minds on the planet in regard to branding and marketing and what you do and how you can just go in and literally transform the culture of a company and get back to whatever the reason was that they launched that business and whatever it was that that business owner originally wanted to convey, how to get them back there. Because I think that's one of the things people don't get. It's like, well, you launched your business thinking that it was going to do some greater good and that it was going to serve and have value in some area, and somehow that has gotten lost in the translation of day-to-day operations of all of the marketing and all of these things that are coming on you. And you have a tendency to be able to just kind of laser beam right in there and say, ah, there it is, that's the problem, or there are the problems, plural, and then create a strategy for small business to flourish. So again, May 17th, it's called Real Business, Real Purpose, Real Profit.
Right.
And you want to go to Real Business, Real Purpose, Real Profit .everbright.com.
Right, Eventbrite.
Eventbrite, excuse me. Not Everbright,
yeah.
Eventbrite.
Right, Eventbrite.
or your website, Heathley, what is that?
Heathley and Partners.
.com, and do whatever it takes to get there, because this, I'm just being a little bit biased only because I have a reputation of interviewing quite a few brilliant minds and great people, and when I recommend a seminar or a workshop, it's pretty much a big deal, because I've been to so many of them. And this is not fluff. This is something that actually you will learn something and be able to apply it, in some cases, before you even step back to the office. I mean, you'll be able to get on your smartphone and implement these techniques and principles and tools that Kathy has available with her team. She is the real deal. So I just want to thank you for being in my life in this time and this place and this era, because I don't know what I would do without you.
Oh, you're very sweet. Thank you so much. It's such, always, I love talking with you, Philippe. You're just awesome.
Thank you so much. So keep in touch with me and let me know. I'm going to do my best to be there. I know you're going to have other events coming up and things that you're doing. So please come back on the show and let us know, and let's talk about it and get the word out. And ladies and gentlemen, Kathy Heathley, she's incredible. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I'll talk to you soon, my dear.
All righty.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.